The K Jazz Show, Sundays on Kofifi FM 97.2.
Kofifi FM, you know when we say page three on the K Jazz Show, we're talking about artists who don't just play music, they live it. And today we have a guest who has taken the cello, yes, the cello, from the township streets of Sebokeng to the world stage. He is a man whose music breathes, dances, and plays across continents and centuries. And for the first time here on the K Jazz Show, we welcome the extraordinary Abel Selakdre here to talk about his current project, Hymns of Bantu, and the upcoming live debut solo offering, Four Spirits, which showcases, you know, music that is already shaking the global scene with its deep rhythms, chants, and spiritual truths. Abel, welcome to the K Jazz Show. This is home, my brother.
Thank you so much for having me. I feel at home already.
Thank you for joining us. You know, you've journeyed from the township streets of Sebokeng to some of the world's biggest stages. Take us back to those early days, and what did growing up in Sebokeng sound like? You know, and how did the township rhythms, I suppose, shape your musical soul?
Yeah. I mean, I loved my childhood so much. You know, I had so many incredible influences. I think we're very wealthy in a different way than this financial way that doesn't feel as fulfilling, you know, in life. So I was lucky that I had a family that was really interested in the arts in general, in poetry, in telling stories, in church. You know, like a lot of us come from that background. And the church music just permeates absolutely everything. And then my brother discovered classical music. And then he began playing a very unusual instrument called the bassoon. And nobody knows it's a wind instrument with almost like a long pipe with metal buttons.
Mm.
Very beautiful instrument. So he took me in. He's like, I'm going to choose an instrument for you. And he literally laid my future out for me. We began to journey together to Soweto, learning from different people. And you know, fast forward, we've been everywhere.
Yeah. I have to ask, you know, the cello is not the very first instrument that you'd expect a young boy from Sebokeng to pick up. But, you know, when you were introduced to the bassoon now, you know, what was this powerful draw, I guess, if I'm going to call it that, to this instrument? And why do you think it spoke your voice so perfectly?
Yeah, it was interesting. I think it started out with, you know, it was a tool. The cello is a tool. Like when it comes to South Africa, or when it goes to another continent, let's say, we have to allow it to change its tradition. So because tradition in that sense is, you know, is progressive. So, you know, what I actually enjoy about that is that my brother handed it to me and said, you know, do you remember that church hymn? And do you remember this song? Do you remember that song? Can you try and get to that? And I think that was, you know, that took me, you know, by surprise, that it was more about imagination than simply the instrument. But then I think it also became this, you know, physical, amazing vibration around your body. It's a big instrument that sits in front of you and it resonates through your entire body. And I think that became, again, something of a spiritual, beautiful thing that just captured me as a child. And then also the people that play it, you know, everybody has teachers that inspires them. I'm sure you can think of a teacher back in your days thinking that's the guy that like pulled me up and showed me things, but the characters around the cello. So, yeah.
You know, your music dances between jazz, classical and African folk traditions and something deeply spiritual, you know, and a sound that's uniquely Abu Salauche. Let's talk about how, you know, you discovered this beautiful fusion. And was there a moment where you knew, you know, that you didn't want to be confined to a genre, including singing in, you know, languages of isiZulu, lesiSotho, Samohai?
I think Kohaya, there was never a time where people made boundaries when it came to sonic spaces. I mean, if you remember, in the township, you have sound systems everywhere. And, you know, you recognize the different types of music that play from a Friday to a Sunday. It's like, it's a vast, vast difference. You know, and I think we grew up like that. And I think when they brought this extremely traditional instrument to us, we just didn't follow those rules. Whereas, you know, there were children here in Europe that went to specialized music schools. And all they did was to learn about classical music. But that's not what I was doing from a young age. So it's more like a formation of DNA. You know, the combinations of my influences have lived within me and just have simply become even stronger to form the identity that you see today in music.
Kofifi FM. We are spending time this Sunday with cellist Avos Laucha. Of course, he's our musical guest this afternoon for our weekly Page 3 feature. And before, of course, the music break, we were talking about his roots in the music and the journey he has traveled since his beginnings in South Africa to the global stages. Now, Abel, you know, your project, Hymns of Bantu, feels like a spiritual offering. And you've said, and I quote, "I think this recording is to do with universal truths. It's about things we can all connect to. And also it contains pieces written in context of my home and culture," which, you know, you spoke about before the break. Let's talk more about how you found the balance, you know, between the personal and the universal on this project.
Yeah, this was tough. You know, it was tough to write a story that encapsulated the fabric that binds everyone together, even beyond Bantu people. But firstly, I looked, you know, there, and I looked, where are the Bantu people in, when it comes to history? And actually, it's much more vast than Southern Africa. You know, they end up in the Congo. There's also in East Africa. And I began to get inspired by some of the musics in those places too. So, you know, I decided to sit with it. And, you know, when you play cello, you when you are doing the kind of music that I am, you have to be a bit of an actor. You have to come up with characters. You have to explore for months on end, just, you know, random sounds. So I would put like paper clips on the strings. And when I put these paper clips, they suddenly sound like drums, like malombo drums, you know. So stuff like that was quite the inspiration to just like explore as much as I could and just translate African language as much as possible. And Hymns of Bantu is absolutely for everyone. You know, I think there are songs that you absolutely recognize as South African, but they're still with a tint of a contemporary influence, because that's just who I am. You know, I'm a product of that.
Yeah.
And I created it like that. But there's a deep sense of familiarity, but also just so many new beautiful things that I hope people will discover.
Speaking of familiarity, you know, you opened the project with Tsotle Tsotle, a song so ingrained, you know, in our collective memory, as you've so aptly put it. What inspired you to bring this beloved tune into a new light? And how did you, I suppose, keep that township heartbeat alive on a global stage? That was interesting, or that could have been, you know, something interesting for us to see.
It's wild, you know, because I think some of these things, they're like medicines, because they stay with you in so many places, like, you know, whatever I'm going through here, I have a family, you know, I work very hard, you know, I run into challenges. And some of these songs play like kind of pivotal roles in my life in order to have a sense of surrender to the world that things will be okay. And I think Tsohle Tsohle is exactly that kind of song where you simply have to surrender, you know. And that's such a powerful thing to begin your story with, because that actually means, you know, we are not in control of the sonic experience. We are merely like vessels of something that is beyond us somehow. So yeah. I think, yeah, that's why I began with Tsohle Tsohle. But at the same time, it's, you know, it was one of those things that just again spoke very well on the cello and worked with an arrangement that comes from a classical spectrum as well.
That's right. That's yeah. right. And speaking of, you know, you wrote fresh lyrics for Emmanuel, celebrating the hands-on workers of South Africa, you know, a beautiful ode, right, to the everyday resilience. What does it mean to you, you know, able to carry the stories of your people in your music, especially, you know, during a time right now when so many of our traditions, you know, are being forgotten?
You know, it's funny. I think our tradition is very oral. You know, it's passed on by the attitudes of our parents, the small things they say to us. And I think the ancestry is sewed into our language. It's like it's all there. I think I totally believe that. You know, the way my parents speak to me is how their parents spoke to them. And I'm sure it changes a little bit, but there's a true message, you know, like, especially with this kind of song about working with your hands. My parents, you know, my father was a mechanic and my mom was a maid working in the kitchens. And she used to say, hala la re sebetsa ka matsoho letsatsi lena ka ofela re sebetsa ka matsoho papa tla dula e le teng. And that was a huge thing, you know, that was like, you know, it permeated our lives. And she always said, you'll never go hungry because you have two hands, you know. And I think it was such an automatic thing for that to enter that space. So our ancestors speak like this, and I hope I'll pass the same kind of language to my children too.
This Sunday, we're in the company of Abel Slouche, and he is our guest for our weekly Page 3 feature. And we're digging deeper and we are listening closer, you know, to the music of the man. Of course, he is currently based in Europe, but he's South African. And of course, we are talking to him. Of course, I love, Abel, you know, how you've described authenticity as, you know, 1,000 influences melded together. And I'm paraphrasing. You can tell me if I'm incorrect. And of course, being honest about where things come from or those things come from. And hymns of Bantu, you know, crosses centuries and continents, from Bach to Mali and Takamba dance rhythms. Amen. To even, you know, Marin Mare, you know, how did you decide, you know, what influences to bring to your sound? And where is this line now, you know, where you say, wait a minute, this still has to be or feel like Abel?
Yeah, you have such good questions, man. I think, you know, everything that happens is always a collection and a reflection of where you are, It's a collection of the things that are happening to you at the time. And so I think when I choose classical music, I have to really choose it for the right reasons, for its message. And I think one of the things is like the use of the voice, you know. So Maren Marais, that piece is called Les Voix Humaines. It's a very old song, which means the human voice. And I wanted that idea to be like throughout the album, but in different parallels. How does that sound in South Africa? So when Maren Marais, you know, wrote that piece in 1750, who was writing music in South Africa at that time, and what did that sound like? And I wanted to just show those parallels through the entire album, and that actually singing is such an important part of, you know, the human experience. I think it's a human right. It's not a professional right. Nobody ever needs to be good at singing, but we all have to sing because we simply confirm that we're part of a community.
And I think to the point, you know, we don't have to know how to sing, but, you know, your voice and the intention is there. You know, that's the most important part. You know.
Exactly. How many people go to church and find absolute, you know, jubilation and spiritual healing where they don't have to, you know, be these amazing singers? Mm-hmm. Of course, there might be some stars around them that, you know, keep the fire burning. But in all honesty, it's such a visceral thing to do for any human body to experience. So I really recommend it for the world.
You've shared the project, you know, and it reflects on human yearning, you know, to understand life as it were, and its spontaneity and what you call a kind of universal spirituality. Do you see the music as a music or a spiritual practice? Let me put it that way, almost like a prayer, both for you and your listeners. And your performances are communal and uplifting, and I've watched quite a few of them, you know, which kind of leaves me with goosebumps all the time. And I and so is the listener. Somebody said when we announced that, listen, he's going to be on the show, he's like, yo, you know, when he's on stage. Let's talk about your audiences, you know, and how you encourage them to join in on this experience of that camaraderie, you know. Maybe,
you know, I think music is a such a powerful tool that it can change many individuals' concept to life. You know, as an artist, I feel like I'm a reflector of the current society. You know, I have some music where I kind of, you know, also raise the idea that some of us are in safe spaces and we inherit peace, you know, and we didn't work for it, but we've inherited, because you're born into some sort of peace and you're not born in a war-torn country. And there are some places where that safety is needed. And there's a lot of people in the world, especially also where I am, with amazing skills, but I never know how to contribute to the world. I'm always encouraging people to find a way to do that. So I think when I have this conversation with my audience, I think I want everybody to leave feeling like they have to do something, and that the world has a much bigger radius than their circle, you know. So yeah,
the world is not flat.
The world is not flat indeed. Yes.
You know, before you and I get carried away, we still need to talk about, you know, your upcoming solo cello project, you know, Four Spirits. Let's talk about a sneak peek into the story and the emotion behind this, you know, specific project. And whilst you're there, I have rumors that I heard that there's a South African tour on the horizon. Let us in, Abel. Why the secrets?
Yeah. I'm getting all the messages, and a lot of South Africans are throwing shade at me saying, we need you here. What are you doing? You know, so I thought I would change that. Okay. I thought I would make a plan. And I think some dates will be announced soon with a wonderful orchestra, and we'll be doing the you know, the major cities, Durban, Cape Town and Johannesburg. And we'll be playing Four Spirits. And so Four Spirits is like a solo piece accompanied by orchestra for cello, voice, African percussion and orchestra. And it's basically in four parts, in four movements. And it speaks of kind of pillars that I believe hold up our communities, you know, or some of the things that we go through. So the first movement is about the understanding of the old and the new, you know. A lot of us straddle worlds much more than other parts of Europe here. Like maybe our parents are much more traditional and people are looking into traditional medicine and healing, but also are living in a crazy capitalist and fast world. Mm. How to navigate those worlds, and as a young person, figuring that out is very important. And using, you know, ancestral wisdom for current living, for me, is like number one. You know, there's so many beautiful solutions that I read about, that, you know, I hear about from my forebears, and that I use today. So that's the first movement. The second movement is talking about the important parts of community, such as children. Children are natural improvisers. You know, if you want to look for innovation, look at a child. You know, find that, you know, they have no lines and boundaries, and are very erratic in their decisions, but always come to a place like of curiosity at all times. So, you know, that's a huge part of what I do, because it's not usual for the cello to play other musics. So I have to be extremely exploratory, and I have to be like a child. And the third movement is about faith. No matter what religion you come from, even if you're not religious, there's nobody who doesn't need prayer. And sometimes that prayer can assimilate itself or show itself in repetition and ceremony. And sometimes that can be a beautiful thing for, you know, for getting some spiritual healing. So that's like inspired by Postola Church and that kind of stuff, where there's this beautiful rhythmic intensity. And then the last movement is called Simunye, We Are One. And this is where everybody sings together. And you know, we can sing until the sun comes up with the audience. So yeah, that's the experience of Four Spirits.
You're an ambassador, as we wrap things up, you're an ambassador of African sound on a global arena, unapologetically modern yet rooted, you know. Of course, looking ahead, what's the vision for how African storytelling through instruments, voices, and rhythms can reshape the global music landscape?
Wow. That's a big question. I think, you know, we are finally getting a hold of our stories as Africans, and our stories can come now to the forefront of the global stage, and for it to simply be known what we are. And I think our power is always in our spirituality, but also our morality. You know, I think there's a really powerful thing about where South Africa has stood in terms of being on the right side of history for a lot of things that are happening in current affairs. And I think music plays a huge part in that. And I think, you know, South Africans can be innovative and can hold a lot of the concept for the world, and how they think, and can really affect change in that sense. So, yeah, and I think our ancestors are also a very powerful tool, and to remind everybody that looking back is not going back. Looking back is simply learning. And I think we also have the power to do that through the power of music. And yeah, many ways to heal through music, and South Africans have it in bucket loads.
We can change the world. Just start in your community, as it were, you know. So let's do a little bit something a little lighthearted, because you and I have been so deep this whole conversation. Let's do a 3 fire rounds question, you know, and off the top of your head, if you jumped into a taxi Kwasibukeng today, which song would instantly take you back to your childhood?
Yo. Can I think? Spunky. A lover that you can't resist. Yo.
A lover that you can't. I love that. I love that. Okay. 1 point to you. And the next one would be, if you could surprise or do a surprise collaboration tomorrow with any artist, living or late, who's getting that call from Abel to say, Ejo, Aratlat?
Hey, you see, you're putting me in a position now because I've got a few things going. I would say, I mean, I would have loved to be in a room with Brahue. That would have been huge for me. But there's also people at home who are just incredible, that I still look forward to meeting, people like Thandiswa Mazwai, people like Nduduzo Makatini. I just can't wait to come home and belong in that sense, you know, and be a part of that fabric where these guys are, you know, are speaking for our country and they are at home. I can't wait to come back and be getting into that. So, yeah.
And the last one, and I think this one is not heavy, but be honest with us. Have you ever named your cello? If yes, what's her name? And if not, what name do you think she deserves?
I shall not disclose. I plead the fifth.
You plead the fifth. But that's all right. You know, Abel, you know, I just wanted to say thank you so much for joining us. And of course, you're a gift to the world and to South Africa. And from Sebokeng's humble streets to the international concert halls, you've shown that the cello is not just an instrument in your hands, but it has become your voice, a voice of spirit, history, storytelling, and healing. Hymns of Bantu is more than a project. It's a conversation, you know, between centuries, cultures, and souls. And a reminder, I guess, that the music can be both deeply rooted universally and resonant locally, you know, as we await your upcoming, you know, tour and the single, you know, that's coming out on the 15th of August. We at the Cage Astro stand proudly with you, and of course celebrating a true son of our soil who dares to tell stories with boldness and beauty. Abel, of course, thank you once again for sharing your time and wisdom and magic with us here on the Cage Astro.
Thank you.
And of course, Kofi FM, keep your eyes open for the project and the man. His name is Abel Salautre. And when he plays, it's not just the music. It is the experience. It is a prayer and a celebration of everything that makes us human. He is cellist Abel Salautre. And of course, as always, he was on The K-Jazz Show.